Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Untied oath. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program called Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We thank you for listening. Our website is afr.net. You can listen there, and we also archive our programs. Then you can listen on your cell phone or your iPad or your electronic mobile device. You can listen on your, if you have a drone, you can listen on your drone. There's many ways. You didn't know this?
Your drone?
Yeah. We have drone antennas that we, no, I'm just, that's not true. We do broadcast on our apps that you can download in 1 minute. You can have an app on your iPhone or your smartphone or your iPad, and then you can be listening to AFR anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, clear as a bell, as long as you have, you know, internet access. cell phone access.
Right.
So there you go. Many ways to listen to American Family Radio here in the good old U.S. of A. Let's see. Tonight is the beginning of college football season.
That is correct. That is a correct statement.
I know there are two games, big games. There's Vanderbilt and South Carolina, and then Tennessee plays Appalachian State or App State.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they have their own app.
Get your app for App State.
Get your app for App State.
That's easy for them.
You know, Appalachian State in North Carolina, they were the ones that shocked the world about 10 years ago when they went into the big house in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and beat the University of Michigan. So you got this small school from North Carolina. They went in and beat the
Michigan.
Know, it was Goliath and David.
Yeah.
Or David versus Goliath. Anyway, they'll always be known for that one victory that they had, App State.
And the guys who played on that team.
Unless they beat Tennessee tonight.
That's the peak of their
– they'll be telling that when they're 90 in the nursing home. You know I was on that team that went to Michigan and beat the Wolverines, don't you?
Yeah.
That was me out there.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's big games Saturday. I mean, this is quite a –
If you like college football, this is a great weekend. Everything starts this weekend. Who are your Notre Dame Fighting Irish? You know who they have this weekend?
They're playing Texas Longhorns.
Okay, where are they playing them? Do you?
I think they're playing in Texas.
Okay.
A real fan probably would.
Probably be 100 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's good football weather. Right there. Huh?
Yeah. 100 degrees in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd raise my hand, hook 'em horns, but I am too hot. Yeah, hook 'em horns, whatever.
Whatever. They shouldn't be playing football. Anyway, football during the day in 100 degree heat is wrong.
Yes, it is.
It's unbiblical. I think if you look long enough, you're going to find some scriptural reference.
It's stupid. I don't know if it's unbiblical.
It's stupid. That's what I'm saying. All right. So, a lot going on this weekend. Wanted to mention
Labor Day weekend.
This is what I wanted to mention. Monday, we got something fun for our listeners.
Good. That's right. You told me to remind you, and I forgot.
Yeah, now I'm reminding you so you can tell people what it is.
Well, what we're going to be doing Monday, since it's Labor Day and our offices are closed, very few folks here keeping things running on radio, but we are going to be having a kind of a mini marathon of Trivia Friday show, kind of the best of Trivia Friday. We start at 7 o'clock in the morning. And there will
Central?
Central time, yes. And then there will be one interruption, I think, from 11 o'clock to 12, I think. 11:30 to 12. And then from 12 back to 1:30 will be one more Trivia Friday. Now, these will not be live. There won't be call-in shows. You'll hear people calling.
You're in the best of. It's a marathon.
Yes. So, kind of like a marathon of Andy Griffith
or whatever. Right. So if you want to have some fun with us on Monday morning, just on Labor Day, just tune in and and we'll have several hours of Trivia Friday because it's Labor Day, and we're just gonna.
We expect our true fans of Trivia Friday listen to this program, this marathon.
All of them.
All of it. That's
all
right.
Because there will be a test.
You can just, that coleslaw can wait.
It can. You better be listening to Trivia Friday so you can be learning. Learning University.
On Labor Day.
That's coming up on Friday. Also wanted to mention, you've heard our spots probably. Our Holy Land tour is coming up in March. I know that seemed like a long time away, but it's really not. It'll be here before you know it. That is March 9th through the 17th. We are going on I am and my wife. We're leading our annual tour to Israel. So if you want to go to the Holy Land and you've been waiting for a trip to join, maybe you want to look into going on ours. Other people go to the Holy Land too, but we go every March because that's typically nice weather. And the people you go with, most of them will be AFR listeners or AFA supporters from around the country. So there's a common bond there. So we'd love to have you join us on this trip to the Holy Land. We'll see all the places in the Bible that you've read about. Not all of them, maybe, but most all of them you've read about since you were a child. Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Nazareth, Sea of Galilee. We'll take a boat ride. We'll have a baptismal service at the Jordan River. We'll go to the Garden Tomb and Calvary. So Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, Bethlehem. So much to do and see on our trip to Israel. If you want to go, you can, or you want to find out more information, you can go to our website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com, or if you're the kind of person that wants to hold a brochure in your hand and read, then you can order and we'll mail you one. Just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES on your phone, and option 5. Just touch the number 5 when you get through to our phone system here and leave your name and your address, and we'll be sure to send you a brochure today in the mail on the March Holy Land Tour. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Speaking of the Holy Land, we've got a gentleman on who's going to talk about where that actually you know, the land of the Bible.
Do we have our guest, I think, is on, Stephen Miller. Most of you remember his band from in the 70s,
yes.
Stephen Miller Band. No, he spells it differently. He's author of a fascinating book titled A Visual Walk Through Genesis, Exploring the Story of How It All Began. Steve, welcome to the program.
Ed, Tim, good to be with you so far.
So far, well, that's good.
You're an optimistic guy.
Was that the first time you've ever heard the joke Ed used about the Steve Miller Band and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm better looking than him, but
yes.
He's a whole lot richer than me.
Yes, I understand.
And if you ask most folks, what would you rather be, good looking or rich?
Stephen, give us a little bit of your background, if you would.
I started out as a newspaper reporter. I went to Kent State University and got a degree in news journalism and spent a couple years working with newspapers, and then decided I wanted to get into Christian writing because back then I thought the Christian writers really needed some help from a professional, and I was pretty arrogant because I was young. So I went to a seminary, got a degree in biblical studies, and started working with, actually it was the Nazarene Church headquarters in Kansas City, with magazines and books that were used by various denominations in the Wesleyan theological tradition, like the Salvation Army, the Free Methodists, the Wesleyan Church. They all used the same materials. And I worked with them for about a dozen years, and then launched out on my own and have been a freelance writer since, 1994.
So the older you have gotten, the more you realized you didn't know, right?
You know, that is the way it works. I'm so sad to confirm that. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Your book here I have in front of us, Ed and I are looking at here, is called A Visual Walk Through Genesis, Exploring the Story of How It All Began. Give us an overview of this, if you would.
It's kind of like the marriage of an illustrated Bible commentary with People magazine. Each chapter is written in easy reading style. I'm trying to draw in people who wouldn't normally read the Bible. So I'm using visuals to help draw them in, and I'm trying to phrase myself in ways that you don't generally hear. You're not going to see commentaries written like this because it's magazine style. But it's purposely magazine style. I'm doing it too because my target audience, the people I think about when I'm writing, are not Christians.
Well,
some outside the faith.
Some of it is downright funny. I just want to compliment you. You have some. I was reading and laughed out loud at some points. But
about
it's
the
a
Bible?
Serious. Well, no, it's his commentary.
It's sacrilegious, don't you think?
Oh no. Huh? I mean, preachers tell jokes. Okay. All the time. I used to tell jokes. I used to tell the same ones pretty much all the time.
I never want to be accused of having humor.
Thank you, Ed. Keep fighting for me.
Yeah, that's how I'm fighting for you. Because my wife has heard all my jokes. We've been married 35 years, and she, she doesn't laugh all the time anymore, but she used to. I laugh at the same ones. Listen, Stephen, here's the thing that I like about your book, besides what I just mentioned, is the fact that you're not a scientist, okay? And some of these issues with regards to origins always, I have a number of books and have read through a number of books, creationists and intelligent design and even evolutionists, and they're all arguing science, and I'm sitting there going, well, how am I supposed to decide who's right? Okay, I was always a history word guy rather than a science and formula guy growing up. So I have no real capacity to judge those things. So how did you approach that problem, seeing as you're not a scientist either?
I simply report what Christians who embrace science feel, and what people who take the story literally as a history, how they understand it. I don't take a position on those kind of things because I'm, as you say, I'm not a scientist. But there are some areas in which there's that sidebar. If you got the book in front of you, the sidebar on page 17 where NASA and Genesis agree. I was reading on NASA's website some background on creation research for this, and they had this really neat phrase that just jumped out at me. It says, "When the universe was young, it was nearly smooth and featureless. As it grew older and developed, it became organized." Oh my goodness, that sounds so much like Genesis, where it's really close to smooth and featureless.
Formless and void? You mean in the beginning when God created the earth? You're talking about Genesis chapter 1?
Yeah, I'm looking to see where I can find it. Okay, let's see.
The earth was formless and void?
The one I have, the earth was shapeless and empty.
Ah, okay. So yeah, that is expressed in the scientific literature that you were reading on NASA's website.
Yeah, and then it became organized, and the rest of the story in Genesis 1 is God organizing it. I just thought it was really cool. Just that for that moment, at least, there's an intersection of science and the Bible story.
Tell our listeners maybe the one thing that surprised you the most as you were doing your research, especially the first chapters 12 through 50 of Genesis, for example. There may be some arguments and stuff, but that's pretty cut and dried in terms of Christian tradition and theology. It's those first 11 chapters that get all the attention, even when atheists are criticizing Christianity. What was the one thing that surprised you above all others as you were researching, especially in that section?
Well, in that section, the one that the thing that surprised me most was what I just identified, the intersection between NASA and the creation story. I'm flipping through the book to see if there were any other big ones. One of the things that jumped out at me actually took place later in the book, where you remember the story of Joseph getting sold down the river to into Egypt as a slave?
Right.
Remember that story?
Yes.
The one thing that struck me, it never occurred to me, by the time he leaves, by the time he's gone, dead and gone, he has turned the entire nation into slaves. The guy who goes down there as a slave ends up enslaving all of the people in Egypt, and he did that with the strategy that he used to deal with the drought. They had 7 good years of drought, and then or 7 years of bumper crops, and they had to put crops into the warehouse, and he managed that. And then when the 7 bad years came, they had to go and buy back the crops they had turned in, and they ran out of money, and then they ran out of the livestock that they would use to buy the grain, and then they eventually had to sell themselves as slave croppers. Sharecroppers, that's the word. They didn't own the land anymore. Pharaoh owned the land, and Pharaoh owned them. So I just thought it was, that didn't occur to me. It slipped me as I've studied in the past that the slave ends up turning the entire Egyptian nation into a nation of slaves.
You know, one of the things that to me is maybe most fascinating about Genesis, the exploration of origins, is even if you're an evolutionist and you believe in, you know, millions of years old for, you know, human beings or human ancestors, whatever, you get to the point, I think I'm right on this, where still modern archaeology and historians still recognize the fact that when you talk about human civilizations, they all begin precisely where the Bible says they do, and that's the Fertile Crescent, Mesopotamia, it's called. I mean, that's where human civilization begins, and the number of years you go back is roughly equivalent to what the Bible is talking about. That, I mean, as far as I know, that hasn't been challenged, has it?
Well, not that I'm aware of. There are probably civilizations older than, well, I don't know if they would call them civilizations, but groups of people older than that in Africa, if I remember correctly. But the civilization, as we use that term, is, you're right, in the Fertile Crescent.
Yeah, when you're talking about the invention of the wheel and alphabets and domesticated animals and farming techniques, that's generally what I mean by when I say civilization, rather than, yeah, you know, stone tools or whatever. But give our listeners an idea of what they can expect from this book. They buy it, they pick it up. By the way, we're talking, if you're just tuning in, with Stephen Miller. He's a journalist by trade, and he has taken a journalist's eye to the book of Genesis, and the title of his book is A Visual Walk Through Genesis, Explaining the Story of How It All Began. So who should pick up a copy of this book, and why would they find this something that they should keep on their bookshelf?
Anyone who's curious about the Bible or Christianity and want to better understand why we believe what we believe about the beginning of the human race and the beginning of the world and the beginning of the Jewish people. This Genesis is a book of beginnings. It's written in easy reading English. There's no preacher lingo, the cliches that you sometimes hear in sermons. Sorry, preachers, didn't mean to offend you. By the way, you had Daryl Bach on just before me. How cool is that? I just spent several weeks with a book of his, Acts, a commentary on Acts, because I've been paraphrasing Acts for the Casual English Bible website that I'm working with. And I just thought, how cool it was. Right. I just spent several weeks with that guy. It was good to hear his voice.
Wow. Well, I remember his book on Breaking the Da Vinci Code, I think. We had him on, you know, several years back when he had written that. Listen, Stephen, we have high-quality guests on this show. That's why we invited you on. So we spare no expense, you know, for our listeners.
Right. We'll pay $1 a minute for a phone call. It doesn't matter to us.
Yeah.
Genesis is – we're talking about Stephen Miller. He's our guest. His book is called A Visual Walk Through Genesis, exploring the story of how it all began. And I'm just always reminded of the something my dad said one time, which wasn't original with him necessarily, but talking about, you know, the story of man and God and the beginning in Genesis and how some people who are atheists or agnostics or skeptics or mockers or scoffers, read the Bible. That's nuts about Genesis and how that's just so how that was started and all. You believe all that? You know, that fairy tale stuff? And then they explained evolution. And you go, I'm going with the God created story. Because that is there is a more reasonable chance of that being true, if you want to look at it just from a rational, reasonable position, than there is for what you're talking about, where some collision occurred out there, and we have random, and somehow here we are with intelligence,
right,
and order in the universe, and procreation, all those things that the Bible talks about,
right,
how we came to be in the first place. So dad's expression wasn't, again, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Stephen?
Well, it certainly takes faith to believe in either one of them. There are plenty of Christians that merge the two, and they'll say, you know, I don't have a problem with the Big Bang Theory, for example, but God pulled the trigger. We have to, I think, acknowledge that there are those Christians who try to bridge that gap of science and the story of the Bible. Well,
but evolution, I'm talking about monkeys becoming people. That's what I'm talking about. Coming from an amoeba that came up out of the pond, and all of a sudden, that's what I'm talking. Now here we are today. I think that's completely inconsistent with the Bible, and I don't see how you could jive the two. But anyway, the guest we've had on is Stephen Miller here, A Visual Walk Through Genesis. Stephen, wish you the best. Thank you for being our guest. Appreciate your what you've done here.
Tim and Ed, good to talk with the two top honchos. Thank you.
Well, right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. So it all began with... if you don't believe in the beginning God,
right,
you're going to have a problem with the rest of the Bible.
Yes. and Jesus referred to Genesis and Moses and in terms of it being true. So you would definitely have a problem with Jesus.
But you mean Jesus' comments in the New Testament, recorded in the New Testament, reference the book of Genesis as being accurate.
Right. For example, he talks about marriage. He refers back to Genesis chapter 2.
So you're saying, why would Jesus refer to something that was a fable?
Right, and not only that, but to your point, that if you reject Genesis, you're going to have a problem with the rest of the Bible.
Right.
So.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us on this Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.